That's the question.
Hey, how are you?
Always good to see you. Thank you.
Beautiful backdrop today.
Much appreciated.
I got it.
Alright, how are you? Yeah, nice to see you, of course. Great. Hey guys, how are you? Anyone else represent? You guys? You guys have the word, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
How are you? Alright.
Thank you for helping out today too.
As always.
Oh yeah, where's the 2-2? Where's the 2-0?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Don't harsh my cartoons. Good morning, everybody. Buenos dias. Thank you all for being here this morning, and thank you especially to the community members, to our service providers, to those who are out there, both in uniform and in our everyday outfits that go out there to do the toughest work in this town to make sure Los Angeles is a safe city where we can plant our dreams and watch them blossom. As 2014 drew to a close, we saw our 12th straight declining year of crime. And today we can still say that our city is safer than any point since the 1950s, and we are one of the safest big cities in America. However, in the first 6 months of this year, these historically low crime numbers have gone up. Compared to this time last year, part one crime, which is a combination of property and violent crime, is up 12.7% in the city. And total property crime is up 10.9%. This is bad news. But as I said during the State of My City address, my administration doesn't run away from bad news. We own it. And let me be clear, any uptick in crime is unacceptable. Even though we can say we're still a championship city when it comes to public safety, I don't want to see us ever getting out there where we see the trends reversed. And public safety is my number one priority as mayor. Reducing these numbers is absolutely essential. And I just came from addressing the command staff across the street at the crime-fighting conference that they are having to both thank them for some good news I'll share, as well as to continue to encourage them to inspire the men and women that are the lifeblood of this department to do all that they can to continue in the right direction. As soon as we saw an increase at the end of last year, I directed Chief Beck, working together with the department and many of our partners here, to attack this problem from every angle with a comprehensive crime reduction strategy. The strategy started with the expansion of the elite Metropolitan Division. This year, we pledged to put an additional 200 Metro Division officers on the streets who can provide targeted suppression efforts when crime strikes. Let me just say something as a side note. Sometimes these officers are caricatured as kind of elite paramilitary. They are quite the opposite. They are the very best officers that we have, of folks who often are selected because of the close community ties that they have. It is essentially backup for those great officers we have in the divisions, but to be able to go in and make sure that a crime spike doesn't become a crime wave. As of today, 125 officers have been added to Metropolitan Division, and all 200 will be deployed by September. I also was very personally troubled by the uptick that we saw in aggravated assaults, and within that, in particular, an increase in domestic violence in Los Angeles. There is no crime that is like domestic violence and how insidious it is in the continuing cycle of violence. We see folks that are on death row, who grew up in violent homes. We see many gang members who come out of violent environments that starts in a home. And we wanted to make sure that those Angelenos trapped by this cycle of violence were not isolated and left to fend for themselves. Most domestic violence happens behind closed doors, so tactics like increased patrols have little effect, which is why a dream that I've had for almost 20 years, since looking at this statewide in 1994, to take domestic abuse response teams, DART teams, and to move them not just in the divisions that we had them, but to every single police division, is now been realized. We set a goal of doing that by the end of this calendar year, and today I'm proud to say that we're ahead of schedule, and these teams will be in every one of our 21 divisions by the end of summer. The contracts are already executed, the funding is in place, and joining us here today are some of the DART service providers, and I want to thank them for their dedication to ending the cycle of violence here in Los Angeles. And this is something that will pay off for generations, something that is not just good for policing, because any police officer will tell you coming back to that same address over and over and over again is a waste of resources, but more importantly, it gets worse and worse each time they come back. And so I want to thank the organizations and the funders who contributed, both from our city funds as well as private dollars, to allow us to move so swiftly to make sure that we now have that line of defense and that team of interventionists who can come and take people out of those violent situations. We're also very focused on taking aim at gang crime, which is fueling much of the uptick that we've seen. We know that dealing with gang violence is not simply about suppression. It is also about intervention and prevention. That is why our Office of Gang Reduction and Youth Development, known as GRID, is the beneficiary of $5.5 million more dollars in this year's budget. That money will expand the size and the scope of our GRID zones, bringing our total number of zones to 23 now in the city. Let me put this in simple terms. GRID will now cover 70% geographically of Part 1 and Part 2 gang-related crime. And it will also cover 50% of the domestic abuse calls by area, 60% of overall violent crime, and 70% of our homicides. So these intervention workers are the ones who've had experience on these streets, with these gangs, in these neighborhoods, and now will be able to cover even more territory than ever before. But it's not enough for our strategies to focus solely on cutting crime. We also are committed to relationship-based policing, which is enhancing the trust between our officers and our community. This is, of course, an issue that we've grappled with here in Los Angeles over the decades, and an issue that communities across the nation have confronted and are confronting as I speak. Under Chief Beck's leadership, the LAPD has made community policing and constitutional policing a bedrock principle. It's a far cry from the department of old, and we're taking steps to build on these efforts with better training and more transparency. So in December, I announced that Los Angeles would become the largest city in America to put body cameras on every patrol officer that we have. The first 860 cameras will be deployed next month, and all cameras will be deployed citywide by 2016. To better train our officers, we are also innovating, creating something called LAPD University, which I've shared with you in the past month, providing also mandatory preservation of life training, which will have multi layers of that training to see what we can do on the street to preserve life, even when we have tough and violent interactions. LAPD University will focus on the first 5 years that new officers are in the department, allowing for professional development on issues including use of force, engaging with the mentally ill, and working with our homeless population. The de-escalation and preservation of life training will occur this summer, and will be for all officers, focusing on the use of non-lethal force as well as officer interactions with community members. And we're continuing to build the relationships between officers and Angelenos that are critical to making our community safe, creating a new community relationships division to center on relationship-based policing, staffed by 83 sworn and civilian personnel that will be fully operational by August 9th, next month. And we're increasing our community safety partnership, a national model that places officers in specific housing developments for a 5-year period, where they can actually get to know the residents get to know them, form friendships and relationships that make those places even safer. And finally, we're expanding our Summer Nightlights program to cover Friday nights in key parks this fall, after school starts. We know that crime doesn't stop just because the school year begins. And the incredible success of Summer Nightlights, something we are proud to kick off just a couple weeks ago, we want to see if we can pilot that into the school year on Friday nights to have parks open late, offering free activities and food for the community while providing young people with valuable employment and job experience, young people like those we see right here. I joked with them. We made them work late last night, and then we got them up early to be here. But we're very happy to be joined by several members of our youth squad and grid providers, and thank you for their work. Let's give them a round of applause. And thank you. Fighting crime is tough. It requires smart, tough tactics, prevention, intervention, and suppression, technology and training. And I'm proud that this department is, for a department of this size, nimble enough to be able to incorporate the vision that I've put forward and to do things to make sure, together with the City Council, that we're able to fund those priorities that are important to us. And I want to thank the City Council for their work in moving the budget forward that included expansion of GRID and, of course, our DART teams as well. I'm also very pleased that Chief Beck and I will be joined in our efforts by our new Deputy Mayor for Homeland Security and Public Safety, Jeff Gorell, man right over there. Let's welcome him aboard. Jeff's a fellow shipmate of mine. He is a former prosecutor, former state assembly member, understands policy, understands crime fighting, and understands commitment and public service. I want to thank him and welcome him aboard to what is a fabulous team of folks who are committed to making Los Angeles even safer. So I'll say a few words in Spanish, hand it over to the chief, and then we'll answer your questions. Al cierre de 2014, Los Ángeles por el 12º año, la rebaja del crimen. Hoy nuestra ciudad es más segura que en cualquier punto desde 1950, y somos una de las ciudades grandes más seguras en el país. Sin embargo, en los últimos 6 meses, esos números históricamente bajos han subido. Comparando este tiempo el año pasado, el crimen parte 1 total ha subido 12% y el crimen de propiedad total ha subido 10%. Estas son malas noticias, pero mi administración no huye de las malas noticias, las enfrentamos. Cualquier incremento del crimen es inaceptable. La seguridad pública es mi prioridad más alta y reducir estos números es esencial. Por eso mismo, el jefe de policía de Los Ángeles, Charlie Beck, y yo estamos atacando este problema en cada aspecto con una estrategia comprensiva para reducir el crimen. Esto incluye incrementar el tamaño de nuestra división de metro, expandir nuestros programas para reducir el abuso doméstico y violencia pandillera. También tenemos que mejorar la confianza entre nuestros oficiales y la comunidad. Bajo el liderazgo de Jefe Beck, el Departamento de Policía ha hecho sus relaciones con la comunidad como uno de los principios fundamentales. Este es un cambio drástico al antiguo departamento, y estamos tomando pasos para crecer estos esfuerzos con mejor entrenamiento, más transparencia y un enfoque en formar relaciones aún más fuertes con la comunidad. Cada una de estas iniciativas representa un paso adelante para la ciudad, y al implementarlas, podemos reducir el crimen y promover la confianza a través de la ciudad de Los Ángeles. Gracias por los oficiales y el equipo aquí por su visión, su trabajo a reducir el crimen en la ciudad de Los Ángeles. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Carlito Beck for a few comments as well.
Has been a very tough year for policing in America and policing in Los Angeles. When the mayor and I first saw the crime numbers, and of course this is something we monitor constantly, for the first quarter of 2015, it was obvious that dramatic action was necessary. And Los Angeles is lucky to have a strong mayor that not only knows the value of good policing, but the value of good partnerships. If you look around this room, in the back, much of my command staff, the captains, commanders, and chiefs that run the police department of this city, our domestic violence response teams, our GRID office, Department of Mental Health, all partners in making Los Angeles safe. The mayor knew the value of this, and he insisted, and I agreed, that we increase our partnerships, and that we increase our efforts, and that we make sure that we weren't complacent and didn't accept a crime increase as the inevitable consequence of multiple years of crime decrease. The mayor detailed many of the things that we did. When you look at them in their totality, the Los Angeles Police Department has not innovated, has not trained, has not developed this many individual programs in my entire history as a Los Angeles police officer. The amount of training that we have scheduled just in this month alone is unprecedented for the Los Angeles Police Department. This July, this month, every police officer that works operations, which is the vast majority of police officers, in the city of Los Angeles will be trained. Every one of them will get preservation of life training that not only includes de-escalation of force, working with the mentally ill, immediate aftercare following a deadly force incident, but also constitutional policing to ensure that we are the best that we can be. Now, we train in all these things and have trained in all these things in developing police officers. But there is never enough emphasis on all of these issues, especially now, especially when it's a conversation in Los Angeles, especially when it's a conversation nationally, and especially when public trust depends on it. Because as the mayor said, relationships are everything in policing, everything. And relationships are based on trust. And unless this police department can put money in that bank of trust, we will never develop the kind of relationships we need with this city and our communities to ensure that crime is reduced. Since we put into place the various strategies the mayor detailed, the increased grid, the SMART teams, the DART teams, the many, many collaborative responses that we have to crime problems in Los Angeles, we've made considerable progress. While crime is up just over 12% right now, the first quarter was over 15%. While violent crime is up over 20% right now, during the first quarter was up 28%. And property crime was up over 12% in the first quarter and is at 10% right now. And these trends are continuing. Matter of fact, if I was to give you the crime numbers for today, rather than the end of 6 months, you would see significant progress. And you will continue to see progress because the strategies that the mayor has implemented, that the Los Angeles Police Department has devised, are working. Now, crime is a difficult task. You know, this is no easy job, and this is not a job that that is the sole responsibility of the Los Angeles Police Department. You will see crime increases in many other venues throughout the state of California. But it isn't the increases that matter; it's the response, and then the results of that response, and we're making good progress. I want to point out that homicides are down in the city of Los Angeles, down 6.7% as of the end of June. That's a significant accomplishment. We're on track to have the lowest homicide rate the city's had in modern history. But homicides, just the tip of the crime iceberg. This year we'll have over 100,000 Part 1 crimes in the city of Los Angeles. We can do better than that. That's a good crime rate for a major city, much better than the other top five. But still, this city deserves better. And we'll continue to work at that. I want to emphasize the serious nature and the effort that the men and women of the Los Angeles Police Department have put out to affect these crime numbers. I'm very proud of what they've accomplished, but I know that we'll be even prouder in the future. And with that, Mayor and I can take questions.
Chief, one question, why? I mean, is it Prop 47, is it 109? Anything to do with the anger over the department after the Ezell Ford situation, all three or what?
Well, I think that post yourself forward, you know, the crime numbers have been going the right way, so I would discount that. But 47 cannot be taken out of the equation. You know, I think that, you know, the city has seen an increase of folks that live on the street that are more likely to be involved in violent incidents. You know, we've seen an increase in gang crime, increase in domestic violence. You know, domestic violence is one of the core crimes that becomes a precursor for whether a young person that was exposed to domestic violence is involved in crime in their future. And it's very important to everyone in this city that we make an impact on domestic violence. And we have. Domestic violence overall was up over 9% in the first quarter of this year, and we've got it down to about 6 overall, both simple and aggravated. So it's a number of things, you know, and I think that one of the, you'll see police chiefs that immediately go to legislation and say that's the causation, or immediately go to the economy and say that's the causation, but it's really the totality of these things. You know, it is much more than just one thing, it's everything. I think that these are things that we don't look to as an excuse, but things that we need to learn to measure and quantify, and we're not really there yet.
Could you address the concentration in some areas of the city, like Central Division? What are the reasons behind those dramatic increases? And also, that much of this is fueled by gang activity. What are the reasons behind that?
Well, Central Division, you know, Central Division has seen an increase in homelessness and people that live on the street. You know, that drives almost all of the crime in Central Division. You know, the Central Division is largely, their violent crime and property crime is largely made up of people that are homeless. So that has had a significant increase in Central. Gang crime, you know, gang crime is very cyclical. You know, gang crime, we've had tremendous success over the last 7 years in the city, cut gang crime in half. Gang crime is still at half the rate it was 7 years ago. People need to remember that. That's not that we're ignoring the increase, but that's just trying to put it in perspective. You know, we will most likely suffer about 130 gang homicides this year. You know, that's down from a high of over 600 in 20 years ago, you know, and twice that number just 5-6 years ago. So I think these things are important to look at in perspective. I'm not taking away from the increase. I'm not taking away from our need to work with our grid partners. You know, the expansion of the grid zones is huge. I go all over the country talking about gang crime because Los Angeles is one of the core cities, Los Angeles and Chicago, that creates street gangs. And street gangs become exported from Los Angeles, or have been in the past, all over the nation. You can go find Crip factions, Blood factions, 18th Street, MS, worldwide. And all those gangs originated within the confines of this city. So we are always looked at as not only the source of much of gang crime, but also the solution. You know, people look to us for what is LA doing? What is it that LA has done that has enabled us to have such a dramatic impact on gang crime, even though we are seeing an increase this year, just this year? And a lot of it is what the mayor talked about. It's having intervention programs that work. Intervention programs where intervention workers have a strong partnership with the police department, not as in many locales where they're very, very separate, if they exist at all. Having prevention programs like Summer Night Lights, like the department's own youth programs. You know, the Los Angeles Police Department has over 30,000 kids in its youth programs. Every one of those kids and every one of their families has a lessened impact, a lessened likelihood of gang involvement because of their relationship with Los Angeles Police Department. Having suppression programs that work, you know, suppression programs that target shot callers, that target people that are the core of violence in gangs, because not all gang members are violent. Yeah. And then having reentry programs that make sense, and Los Angeles has those.
Chief, two questions.
Are there any other divisions or areas where you've noticed this uptick in Part 1 crime?
Well, Part 1 crime increases is universal throughout the city. Every division has seen an increase, some to greater extent than others. You know, it's it is a citywide phenomenon that that we are addressing at multiple levels. Now, every division in the city is different. You know, what works well in 77th may not work in West LA. So that's why my area captains, who are in the back of the room here, craft their strategies based on the on their divisions and what they need. That's why it's so important to increase the size of Metropolitan Division, so that the area captains can use well-trained officers who are not only trained in tactics but in community engagement to address spikes in violent crime.
Chief, what measurable impacts have the metro expansion had, and also what are we going to do for the rest of the year to reverse this tide of rising crime?
Well, you know, it, of course, it's, you know, as Ben, as you know, it's hard to exactly tie any decrease to one action, especially when we've done so many things at once. But since we have expanded Metro, we've had a measurable decrease in not only property crime, but in violent crime overall. You know, I'm not naive enough to tie that directly, because for part of it, you know, much of Metropolitan Division is the new officers are still completing some of their training and haven't been fully deployed to the extent that they will be. So, but you know, I am well versed in crime strategies, and I know this strategy will work in this situation. You have the second part of the question?
What are you going to do the rest of the year to kind of reverse this?
Well, we're going to continue to work on the strategies that we've developed. You know, we have. You know, we still have to roll out the rest of Metro. We still have to roll out the rest of the DART teams. We are still going to work on trust building in all the ways that I talked about. Much of the training that we've discussed, that Mary and I have discussed, is not completed. LAPD University, their first class won't begin until about October. So there are a number of things that are in progress. And, you know, I think that all of us have to recognize that these things, this is a big city, it's a big ship. It takes more than a minute to turn it around.
Just to address that, I think we're much of what we've seen, we're able to do a few things very quickly, but most of it will start in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
That's when the budget is in place for the DART teams. We hope to see those interventions mean that you don't get those callbacks time and time again, and more importantly, transform the lives of those victims and turn them into survivors of domestic violence. Second, with the grid expansion, you'll see and feel that, you know, the hiring. As the chief said, I mean, this is kind of like a battleship that has almost turned on a dime, at least for a battleship. It usually is the kind of thing where you talk about it. It takes 374 days in the city of Los Angeles to post a new position, for instance. But we're able to bypass that sort of thing and go quickly within a matter of weeks and months to get these folks rolled out. The rest of Metro will go out, the increased training. And we hope that this isn't just about reversing something for this year. I want to be clear. It's about embedding a new culture that can, as a country, is dealing with the challenges of relationship trust and the challenges of demographic change and the challenges of the kind of aftermath of the recession can position us to maybe be one of the exceptions in the country. We are both part of the national trends and part of a national conversation. But what distinguishes this department is its ability to innovate. Perhaps the trauma we've gone through as a city makes us more resilient. You know, as other cities, we focus more on what the process is and who's speaking and who's saying what, rather than that we have peace right now, even in the midst of difficult cases. And to the conversation we've had, we'll have, you know, increased transparency, honest numbers, a whole bureau that's just dedicated to that. And we have to remind ourselves that may be a part of it. You didn't ask all the different sources of crime, but the reclassification of some of the aggravated assaults is no doubt a part of this. But we will continue to see, I think, in the second half of this year, we have already started to reverse the trend, is the news, you know, that I was excited to see today. And something, you know, if you want to know the process, we can always do the process stuff. The chief has stood up kind of a war room on this. I visited that place myself. We've gone through the tactics. We've engaged folks who aren't just police officers to make sure that they understand that they're a part of this mission. And I think that you have assembled here truly the team that will continue to push forward. But you'll see more of this policy stuff coming in the second half of the year than the first half.
You had such a great run. I mean, you had a terrific run. Was this shocking that it's ended
No.
this quickly?
No, it's not shocking at all. And after I really want to put this in perspective. And I messed up the metaphor last time, so I'm going to try to be clear. this is still a championship team that is winning the pennant, but we're winning it maybe by a few less games. So we're still, of the top five cities in America, we're incredibly safe. Compared to where we've been, we're incredibly safe. But it's also important to own trends. It's not that this has turned overnight into an unsafe city. And we have to remind ourselves, even when we have the safest years on record, if you live in a dangerous neighborhood, that stat doesn't mean a lot to you. If you're a person caught in a domestic violence situation with no route out, who cares what the crime stats are? So we see ourselves, you know, at a point where we knew, and we're watching it nationwide as well as regionally, an uptick in crime. But the difference is, do you sit flat-footed and say, well, that's just, you know, some years it's good and some years it's bad, or do you do something about it? We're doing something about it. It's still a safe city, but we want to make it even safer.
Do you think that will be enough between San Fernando Valley and what you're noticing in the San Fernando Valley?
Sure. We have the by the Bureau numbers. Yeah. The Valley Bureau numbers, I think, hold on one second, let's get a little bit. Valley Bureau, we saw a 7% increase. It's the smallest of the four bureau increases. So South Bureau was 11%, Central Bureau was 18%, Valley Bureau was 7.6%, and West Bureau was 16%. This is for part one crimes. See if we have on violent. We can get them for you. And I think we break them out in the
actually,
in the
you're going to hand out their broken out.
Excuse me. But I don't know if they're unique. You can speak to it. I think it's similar to what we're seeing citywide. It's pretty much a snapshot of citywide, just a little less.
You know, this, the San Fernando Valley, all the bureaus are unique. You know, the Valley Bureau is different than South Bureau. And Valley Bureau has a much greater propensity for property crime, has a much lower violent crime rate than Central Bureau or South Bureau. So we see more increases in property crime in the Valley. And any increase in violent crime is exaggerated because their violent crime rate is very, very low, realistically, in the Valley. So, you know, it's tough when you measure this giant city, almost 500 square miles, and try to draw exact corollaries between the divisions and bureaus because they are so different. Every one of them is unique.
Going back to that question of why crime is up, I know you said it's a lot of things, but could you just enumerate some of them?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that the legislative change, Prop 47, the change in the way we prosecute narcotics crimes, that has had an impact.
I have something to that. Just yeah. Continue. On Prop 47, it was the promise was that there was supposed to be intervention.
That's exactly right.
Programs from the money that was displaced by not throwing people in prison for a long time for drug crimes, which I think we all logically agree is not the smartest way forward. But nothing has rolled out. Our city attorney hasn't gotten more resources, and all those former felonies are now misdemeanors and are supposed to be prosecuted by the city of Los Angeles. We haven't seen huge intervention programs, so we're not helping those folks out on the street who are addicts. They're not getting the help. All we've done is reduce, they know that they're not going to prison. And so because it's more of a revolving door, we do believe probably some of that property crime increase. But to be clear, property crime was going up before January 1st when this went into effect. But we think that may be fueling part of it. But
you think 47 was a mistake then, Mayor?
I think that what you need to do with any good program is to put the intervention in place first before you change the penalty.
So you don't think it was a mistake, or you think it was?
That's my opinion.
Chief, and then we got to wrap it up.
I interrupted.
Let me finish. So you have the impact of Prop 47, which, by the way, has not been empirically measured yet. You know, that we have a number of statewide studies that are ongoing. I think it's way premature to point at this and say that's the reason. You know, because as the mayor said, you know, Prop 47 really started in November-ish.
January 1st.
Was it? Came into effect, yeah. And we had crime increases at the end of last year. So that's not an exact correlation, although it's a statewide issue. So, you know, we have to look at that. You know, we've seen an increase in homelessness in the city of Los Angeles, and that does impact crime, especially in Central Bureau. We've seen an increase in gang crime, at least some forms of gang crime, and that drives crime. You know, most disturbingly, maybe, we've seen an increase in domestic violence, and that drives crime rates also. So we have rolled out strategies to not only be better at all preventing all of those things that we've talked about, but building our partnerships. And we have natural partnerships in all of those areas of crime increases, and we've rolled those out.
Thank you.
Chief, last question.
Chief, you brought up homelessness in these L4s.
Thank you, Chief. You guys, this is the first uptick in crime since 2003. You guys are the first police chief and mayor to have to deal with this situation. Does that add to an urgency? Does that add a personal urgency for both of you? Chief, I know you've got the war room set up upstairs, but how does the fact that the numbers have been down for so long, how much does that weigh on you guys?
It weighs on me because this is not about me, it's about those victims of crime. I mean, whenever I see those numbers go in the wrong direction, you know, you have to look at statistics or statistics. I mean, you can look at domestic violence statistics, for instance. Are more people reporting? Are there more incidents? Who knows? But it's our responsibility to make sure that people aren't caught in those cycles. If I talk to a young person who is in a neighborhood where they still hear gunshots, that weighs very heavily on me. I want to be very clear. I'm much less concerned about trends and the impact on me than on the people I represent. The people I represent deserve to be free from fear in the communities that they live in the homes where they are, on their way to school. And that to me is why, you know, you could probably do in the past, I think if this was 20 years ago, uptick in crime, it's like, get a bunch of cops out there and start being tough. We know that that doesn't do anything long term. Getting program and young people like this for Summer Night Lights, that actually plants a seed which blossoms years after I'm mayor. Making sure that we have the grid intervention teams, that we have DART teams that reverse a life that may be generations of violence that we stop. Those things you can never count. You can't count the lives saved. You can only count the ones lost. But it weighs very heavily on me because that's my chief responsibility. It's not a throwaway line that I believe public safety is number one. Public safety is number one because it impacts people the most when they aren't safe. And I'll continue to make sure we work as hard as we can to reverse that. Do you want to speak to it?
Well, you know, I do take this personally. You know, this is, I've spent 40 years of my life trying to keep this city safe. And even though it is safer than in all those 40 years, I worry about it. This is what keeps me awake at night. I worry about the safety of everybody that lives or works or travels through this city. And, that's why I put so much emphasis and pressure on my folks to reverse the tide, and we will.
Okay, thanks, you guys. So I got to get the chief out. He's got another appointment. There's a Spanish speaker available if anybody needs it. There's more brochures with all of
thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
On our table. Yes.
I'm